Welcome in. It's WLSN's production of The Three Wise Men. I'm Danny Holbrook alongside Miles Holiday and Nate Garlock. Guys, it's good to be back. I was under the weather last week, i.e., where's the jokes at? Let's go. Come on.
No jokes.
No jokes. We're happy you're back.
We were worried about you. We're glad that you're healthy.
I would love for the folks to see the outtakes. I really would.
Yeah. Danny, what are you talking about? We're generally concerned.
I text you every single day.
Yes, you did. It was awful. We helped you out. We filled in for you on other venues.
It's just kind of a coincidence that we had the best show ever.
People
came up and said, man, that was amazing, the show that you guys had.
I genuinely felt bad that Danny wasn't on the show that we had that was the most viewed ever on YouTube. I couldn't believe he missed out on that one.
Thanks, Mark Shine.
And Mark did a great job.
Great job. Probably the best interview we ever had
with
the Sensiballs.
People asked if he's coming back.
Can we do the show now?
We missed you.
It's the Diamond Dave Bone. Best thing we saw all week. We're going to start with Nate, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Yeah, so for me, I got a whole host of them here. I think I'm going to go over with you guys, so bear with me here. You know, so I was over at LCC. I broadcast the LCC Crestview game. At halftime, they have a contest. A young man by the name of Brady Garlock, family member of mine, the basketball athletic genes run deep in the family. And he had an opportunity. He had to make a layup, free throw, three-pointer, half-court shot, all in a time limit. He makes that. It's for $500. He makes everything. He drains the half-court shot at half or right before the buzzer.
Right for it.
It was one of those awesome moments. Everybody's running around the court. He gets the big check.
I saw the video.
It was awesome. So that was a great thing to see. Very happy for him. My next one is if you haven't had a chance to go out and see a Lima senior game yet this year and see Sean Foster dunk the basketball, you are missing out.
Incredible.
He had one of the most fantastic dunks I have ever seen this past week. It was absolutely incredible.
Him and Willie,
what they do out on the floor is absolutely incredible. It's so much fun to watch. I was so glad that I got to see that. You actually, after talking to you, was kind of where I heard this one, the hospitality of OG.
Oh, it was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
It was amazing.
I mean, they had that OG Winter Classic this weekend. Yep. Great slate of games. Yep. They do it right there. They treat everybody really well.
Oh yeah, Red Pig, great
barbecue
food.
You guys had. You know, we got the lowdown from our good friend Hot Dog. He talked about the good food over there. They had crumble cookies for sale out in the hallway. Absolutely.
They had
incredible.
To postpone the second game 30 minutes because Danny wouldn't stop eating.
I heard that. That was. Well, eventually they just canceled it because they just couldn't. The only way we're getting him out of this is if we call off the third game.
Do you know how many times they said, Mr. Holbrook, please use a utensil? Because he was just grabbing.
It was crazy.
Well, I was wearing a blue furry outfit going,
It was crazy. And then finally for me, Ada Allen East.
Yes.
Evelyn Lehman, she broke the single game and season 3-point record for the Mustangs.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. A great young player. She's done great things for them, and being able to see her do that this week, bar none. Yep.
First year playing basketball too.
Incredible,
amazing.
Well, thanks, Nate. I'm going to go next if you don't mind. I never get to go second.
Yeah, go for it.
The OG Winter Classic was amazing. We had a great time over there. Willie Foster may have had the dunk of the year, which was incredible. Yeah. Jaquel Cotton had 40 points.
Fantastic.
Just a great, great night of high school basketball. So those are mine. I don't have to go in depth about them. Those are just really, really cool things that OG did, and their hospitality and the young girl from Allen East was amazing.
Incredible, absolutely.
Outstanding stuff. For me, Michael Garlock, your son. That's fantastic, man. Signed his letter of intent at MSJ down in Cincinnati. You got
to
be excited.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's always a great moment as a parent to see your kid succeed and be able to do good things and being able to participate in signing day with him over at Shawnee, along with four other athletes from Shawnee. Tate Bender, he signed to play basketball.
Oh, great.
I can't remember her name now, and I do apologize. It was the young lady to play volleyball over at ONU, Maggie Jordan.
Oh,
She went to go play, signed to play.
It's a good program.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They also had Ben Caprella. He signed to play football over at Wooster.
Oh, nice.
And then Joel Stern. He signed to play or to go run track for the University of Findlay. So a great signing day over at Shawnee.
I also had Maddox Underwood, 43 points at USV. We had him on the show. Boy, he was an impressive fella.
Fantastic.
That is fantastic. And then a guy who's really gotten under the radar for Delphus Jefferson, Carter Agner, 35 points at Lincoln View. A fantastic offensive score. And then my last one is my good friends stealing all mine that I wrote down on the show sheet.
I thought you could read upside down. I thought you were going to take the ones he wrote down.
I couldn't read them. So it's funny because Nate texted me like at 2 o'clock this afternoon. He's like, let's do this. Then Miles and I'm like, okay. Well, then Miles and I are sitting in the radio show today and he's like, oh, I changed some of my things. And I'm like, oh no.
nicely done, fellas.
Good work, guys. That's some good stuff. But Miles and I, we were over at the OG Winter Classic, and I'm telling you, if you don't go to that, it's not a tournament. It's just good basketball.
Three great games.
And they bring the top teams from all over the state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Nate. If you haven't seen Lima Senior play, you're missing something out.
That Dayton-Dunbar Senior first quarter is about as fast as a basketball game that you will ever see. Yeah, that was unbelievable.
Especially in a gym like Ottawa.
Yes. Yeah.
It's interview time here on the Three Wise Men. We got a couple of good guys here. We're joined by Shawnee head football coach Shane Wireman and his top assistant coach, let's just call him that, Travis Wireman. Brothers.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on, man. Enjoy talking football anytime.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we appreciate you guys coming in here. And let's just talk about, we want to talk about the aspect of the relationship of you guys working together and being brothers and that kind of thing. But let's talk about the season at Shawnee, your first at Shawnee. You guys, a lot of changes being made.
Well, I think everybody enjoyed the first 2 weeks of the season, getting off to a fast start there. We thought that was real important. But, you know, we bogged down a little bit in the middle part of the season. But I thought our kids rallied there towards the last three, four games. Our kids didn't give up. We kept seeing some positive things. So we got a lot to build on. I think a lot of it going forward for us is just establishing that culture. You know, we all talk about it, but it takes time to actually turn it into what you want it to be. And that's kind of where I see us at right now, is we're in the early stage of a build. And kids are working, and things are starting to improve. So I think we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, Travis, how hard was it to come in not knowing any of the kids and learning new names and learning families and learning moms and dads and all that stuff?
I mean, it took me months. I mean, it would be the summer, and I'm trying to rip a guy, and I'm like, man, I don't even remember the guy's name, you know, because there's 50-some, and we're used to coaching. You know, we had coached 30 guys, and then not being in the district, you know, going and seeing kids that you're like, man, you look – I know your face, but I can't tell you who you are. It was a challenge, but I think the kids were resilient. They responded to it, and we got rolling, and they bought in a little bit.
Did you have to break out the old name tag on the helmet for a while?
that's a gimmick, yeah. You always have to have that on there. Then you have to remind guys, like, hey, it's the first game. Take it off. So we know your name now. So, yeah, that's still a thing.
You know, I'm glad that you decided to come back because you talked about that fast start. You know, we had you in after that 2-0 start. And then it didn't go so well there for a little while. I guess rough time. So, you know, I'm glad you don't hold that against us. You decided to come back. You know, we've had an up and down year with guests and results. So it's nice. Nice to see you come back.
Right.
You
know, but, good luck next year.
you know, but, you know, that start was important. And, you know, obviously, you know, I have personally invested in being in last season, you know, with my son playing for you guys. And, you know, I know that it's always hard to lose, especially after you guys came from such a successful program. Now, you had to turn that one around. So you guys are used to, hey, we have to come in. Program needs to get built back up. There was a lot of good things, like you mentioned, that happened. But how was it, you know, you're new in a program, you got a culture that hasn't had a ton of success with kids who this is kind of a familiar feeling for them, to keep them from falling back onto old habits, like, well, it's just same old for us, we're not going to win, and keep those guys continuing to move forward and improving?
You know, that's a challenge every game. You know, I tell guys, are you willing to put all this work in this week and go out there on Friday night, and you might got beat 35-0. You know, like, coach, I did everything you asked me to do down through the week, film study, scouting report, lifting, you know, practicing, and we didn't get the result we wanted. So, you know, you got to develop mental strength as much as you do physical strength. And I think that's probably an area of weakness as a team, is we're not mentally tough right now, at least not as a whole. I think we have some guys who get it, but we have some guys who do hang their head, and we just got to, you know, fight that. It's a next play mentality. It's the next series. It's the next quarter. It's the next half. You know, we have to keep building on something positive. And, you know, so sometimes you got to set your goal from, it's not trying to, I mean, we all want to win, but maybe your goal that week, you might say, is that realistically a goal for us this week when you're playing a Walpock or a St. Mary's? I always believe I can beat everybody, but you got to instill that in your kids until they believe they can beat everybody. You know, that real change doesn't take place. So for me, it's getting them to believe that no matter who we play, if we go out and execute and we bring our A game, we can play with anybody in the conference. And I really believe that, as good as those teams at the top are, if we play with a real belief and an effort that we think we can play with those teams. But getting the kids to believe that is different than a coach believing that.
Well, and I can tell you at least some of that message came through, because I can tell you a lot of conversations at home, you know, obviously, you know, we're around the sport and you try to be neutral and dad and, you know, sure, we're broadcasting games and, you know, so, but, so there isn't always rose colored glasses, but I can tell you, hey, what's Friday night? You know, listen, I think we can, you know, then tell him, I'm like, yeah, it's great, Walker, and going, I don't know, but, all right, I hope so. So I can tell you at least some of that stuff was coming through. It's just, it is difficult when you guys are coming in and taking over a program where they've had three head coaches over the last three seasons and, you know, new systems and new language and, you know, new positions and all these things. And, you know, I personally, I can just tell you guys that, you know, as a dad and as a fan of Shawnee football, and I got another one in the program coming up in a couple of years, and I'm excited for the direction that you guys are taking it. I think you, when you talk to other people and you see around the program, they're also excited the direction that Shawnee football is going. And I think it's all built around that consistency at the coaching positions.
You brought up a really good point. Most football games are lost, right, instead of won. Mm-hmm. And mental toughness is a huge part of that. So how do you guys get that mental toughness to where you want it in your program?
I think it's through consistency. I mean, hard work, effort. I mean, keep preaching the belief. Keep getting the guys to buy in. You know, praise the things that you want to see. I mean, correct the things you don't. I think throughout the year, there's a few times where you're like, man, I don't know if they believe, but then – coming down the stretch, it's like three or four winnable games, and I thought we competed our tails off. We didn't get any of them, but the kids continue to fight, battle, and it was like one-score game, you know, throw a pick with 30 seconds left when you have a chance to go score a two-point conversion versus Kenton that we didn't get, and we lose by one. I mean, I think those are the things, and you can start preaching that, like, hey, look, we're right there, guys. You know, just a little bit more work, and next year we can turn those close losses into some tough wins.
Being a head football coach is extremely difficult, right? But I have to believe being the brother of a head football coach has got to be just as difficult, because you're the guy that maybe the kids are, hey, coach, can you tell them not to run 40s at the end of the night? You know, our legs are really tired. Do you get a lot of that stuff?
Sometimes from the kids I do get a little bit of it, but not too much. I usually get him being like, why in the world did you throw the ball there? Why did you run the ball there? I mean, so, but it's all in, I mean, building that trust, you know, and the kids know too, hey, like, we're in lockstep. They're not going to say, hey, coach, why are we running the 30 this week? And I'm going to be like, well, right here's why we're doing it. You know, sure. I'm not going to, you know, which I think is great. You know, I relay his message and try to build it up. And, you know, so.
When you guys were at Waynesville Goshen and you reeled off three conference championships in a row and multiple trips to the state tournament and all-state players, when was that moment? Because you guys started 0-10, correct?
Yeah.
When was that moment where you looked at each other and go, we turned the corner here. We did this. Do you remember that moment? And is that the stat line you're shooting for now?
I would say for me, you know, there's always that game that maybe your kids didn't believe they could win, and then we won. Mm. And I would say, like, year three, we had Sidney Lehman. They were a really good football team. And, you know, unfortunate for them, their quarterback goes down in the first half of our game. It was a game we had no business winning. And I still remember it today. You know, the fog kind of set in. We kind of call it the fog bowl.
Yeah.
The guys that were there, you won't forget it, because, I mean, they were playing in all white unis and the fog was everywhere. You thought you was in like a movie scene. But we won that game. And from that point forward, like, I could just see in our kids, like, we just beat a team that we didn't have no business beating. Right. And you could tell they legit didn't believe that they could beat that team, but then after it happened, it just, that belief starts to bubble up. So I think in every turnaround, whatever you want to call it, you know, getting that win against somebody who maybe you didn't think you should beat as a player, when that happens and then the lights start to go on, like, hey, if we would just do a little bit more of this, we can go beat some of these teams. And that's what we're looking for. I'm looking to go upset somebody who maybe everybody else, when they pick their picks for the week, says Shawnee is not going to beat these guys, but we go out there and do it. And that would kind of be the thing that would really
– We picked you guys every week. We picked you guys every week.
Not Nate.
Travis, you know, coaching with your brother, talk about that relationship you guys have. I'm sure you know, probably best friends and you do everything together, but is there ever those moments where you kind of look at each other and go, why'd you do this? He said that earlier. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, for sure. I mean, but there's times – that happens, but we're pretty good about, hey, let's do this behind closed doors. We have those conversations, you know, watching film or, you know, on Saturday morning, you know, if, you know, and we challenge each other, which I think is great. I mean, you can't grow unless you challenge each other. There's times in the moment you're like, I thought I did the right thing. And then you can reflect back on it, you know, maybe on Sunday and you're like, darn, I really did put us in a bad spot. You know, I can look at week two and I was like, you know, I'm going for the jugular. I'm like, let's run the trick play and let's gadget them and let's, you know, just get the morale boosted, and gave Eli the ball back and gave them a chance to go score. So, you know, we had to have that conversation of, hey,
slow your roll,
run the ball. You know, but he has enough belief in what I'm saying. He's like, hey, if you think it can work, run it, you know, like give it a shot. So I think that's important. We do have those tough conversations. You have to. All off season, we're back and forth. All right, you know, if this is what you're going to do, this is how I would attack it, you know, and making each other grow. And doing it with your brother is, it's awesome, you know. You got each other's back.
And is that the week you came in and go, what are they doing? Is that
that week? Was, no, I think that was every week.
No, I still got kids coming up in the program. Right?
I kid, of course.
I hope they can run.
You know, obviously coming in first year head coach in any program, it's kind of a, you know, learn as you go. You have to kind of figure out who you have, you know, what's going to work, you know, what scheme are you going to bring in. And I know one of the things early when you guys got there was you feel like you could build your offense around whatever you could do. If it was we need to run, we can run. If we need to throw, we can throw. It's whatever we have, we'll make work. Going into year two, though, are you guys looking to kind of change that a bit and solidify and say this is the type of identity we want to build moving forward, or are you guys still kind of figuring that out?
I think the biggest thing that the knowledge gained this year is now you know who your kids are. You know what their skill sets are. You know how they fit within a system or a scheme that you want to run, where they can help the team on offense or defense. Whereas when you're coming in and trying to figure all that out on the fly, you're kind of trial by fire. Well, I think this kid's this, but then you give him three games, you go, that's really not the best fit for him. He needs to move here. So we had some of that kids bouncing around a little bit, but that's the biggest thing. I still think offensively, no matter what you want to do, you got to stay balanced. And the teams that we play in the WBL, they're just too good. If you're one-dimensional and they know what's coming, you know, up most teams, I'll say St. Mary's, everybody knows what they're going to do.
Sure.
And that's what they believe in, and they go get that 3 or 4 yards. But there's not many teams that are built that can do that. And I think the way that they do things is great. It's effective. It's demoralizing to go against. But for us at Shawnee, I think we're kind of built to be that multiple attack. You know, we want to be able to pass the ball. We want to be able to run the ball. I think this year we had to lean too much on our pass game. No fault of the kids and the guys giving the effort. We just didn't have that downhill runner that could keep us on schedule. So we had a lot of second and long. And then defenses are blitzing you, and they know the pass game's coming. So I felt like we struggled in that area, and that's a point of emphasis, is we have to be able to run the football better. As much as, you know, the young gun over here wants to throw, we have to be able to run the ball, you know, close out games, close out halves. You know, sometimes your quarterback throws a pick, and, you know, you don't want to go right back into the pat. Like, hey, yeah, we believe in you, but let's get a couple first downs here and settle everybody down. So,
all right, let me give you guys a scenario. It's the last play of the game. You're down by 5. The ball's on to 1. You just called timeout. It's going to be the last play of the game. You score or you lose. How's that conversation go, play caller, head coach?
I will be honest with you. It's interesting you brought that up. Not so much from a play calling standpoint, but I can remember challenging our guys. I said, I know we're not there yet. Because I looked at the 5 offensive linemen, and I said, if it's a situation you just described, I said, I don't know who to run the ball behind. Mm. I said, because I don't see a guy that steps up and says, right, put it right behind me, right, we'll get it, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the mentality we want to get. But I think at that point, you know, you look at how the Eagles are doing things, I'm probably saying, dude, run the quarterback sneak and let's get that thing in there. You know, for him, he's probably saying they're thinking we're going to sneak it. Let's go ahead and catch him with something else. But, you know, that's that fun conversation in the headset. And you're like, hey, we've got 5 seconds. Here we go.
Is there anything better, though, when it have that 4th and 1 and it's that big play and you're going to call the play, but you really don't, because you look in the huddle and you see the eyes of that offensive lineman and, you know, all right, the play's already been called, hasn't it?
100%.
And we did, like he said, we challenged our guys in like the last 3 or 4 weeks. I'm like, 4th and 2, 3rd and 1, whatever. What do you guys want? And we'll run it. Because if they're confident in it, most of the time they'll be successful. And that's why I tell them, if you're not, I'll take it, you know, and we can grow from it. But you got to get those guys to believe. And like you said, when you got a couple offensive linemen that are like, let's go, let's double team this guy and let's get some movement here, you know. And sometimes those 4th and 1s turn into big plays because you get, you know, everybody's up in the box.
Remember, Pete Carroll had Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. In the ball. So.
Right. Now, Danny, when you played in that situation, would you look at the coach and just point to the other side?
No, we were never that close to a goal line. Yeah, we were never at the goal line. You know,
so. Do not run behind me.
Yeah, do not do it.
Yeah. So looking ahead a little bit to next year, I know it's still early. You guys just had your first, you know, kind of organizational meeting. I know big emphasis for you, coach, is getting these boys into the weight room. Yep. You know, putting in those hours. But you guys have a quarterback coming back in J.J. Spiker, where he got off to a really good start. Mm-hmm. Things really started to kind of click for you guys. And then, unfortunately, he gets the injury. He goes down. He was able to come back, but just wasn't quite the same player. But he's that hybrid. He can throw. He can run. He really opens up that offense a lot for you. Now going to come back in as, you know, a third-year quarterback. Does that help you guys as you start to build that offense for next year, knowing that, hey, you know, one, we've seen him now for a year, but we also got a guy who's been behind center for 3 years now, got a little bit more trust, a little faith. We can kind of open the playbook a little bit more, put some more things in.
I absolutely think that. I mean, quarterback play, I don't care what level it's at, high school, college, NFL. If you don't have a good trigger man, you're going to struggle. And I think JJ can be a very, very good player back there. He's dynamic with his legs. And I think that we've talked a lot about that. Like, you can't just rely on that at all times, you know. So a lot of our offseason with him is really understanding that playbook and understanding those reads better and saying, hey, we know you can make plays with your legs. So does the defense. But when they're up there to stop your legs, can you take advantage of them in the pass game? And that's been a big emphasis. We're working on it right now. I mean, it's something that – it's that mental piece of just trying to explain that. You always – trying to have those conversations with kids. But for me, as a, you know, year two head coach there, it's nice knowing you got an experienced player returning there. Continue to develop the guys behind him, get those guys ready. But I think that really allows him to kind of have some a wider playbook, knowing what he's got in JJ.
What do you guys say to your seniors like Michael? You guys start the year out, you know you're not going to be that good. You can always tell the underclassmen, look, we're building this program for the future. What do you tell your seniors this year, you know, to get them to buy into everything? I mean, is it easy to say, look, these guys are going to walk on your backs? I mean, is that something you tell them?
That was a message with even this year's class of seniors was, hey, you guys are the foundation. And I apologize to them. And from a stance of, you guys are not going to enjoy the wins that are coming in this program, but you guys will be able to look back in 3, 4, 5 years, maybe when you're buying a ticket, and be like, I remember
you
those
don't let them
kids
come in
coming through. And they can come work the sideline anytime they want. So we'll put them down
hey,
as
Michael,
a worker. So that is a piece that you – I mean, you have to sell it to a kid, you know, because kids do want to know what's in it for me. And obviously they grade a lot of things in wins and losses, but I really think that we tried to sell that message. It's something we believe in, like, hey, you know, things aren't great right now, but like he said, there's younger ones coming. Make this program something that those young guys, when they do move through, they're like, man, I'm glad to be a part of Shawnee football.
We always talk about the conferences in the area, and you guys were at the NWCC, and it's an underrated conference. It's a good conference with the teams that are in there. They're all competitive with each other. And you guys go to the WBL. Well, the WBL is top-notch, is as good a conference as there is in the area. What did you notice the most? Was it the speed? Was it the physicality? Was it what did you notice the most?
I would say the speed right away. Yeah. I mean, the first Friday night I walked away and I'm like, God, those run lanes close quick. Like, I mean, you would see good play, like you said, in the NWCC, but it's like now there's 11 dudes that are dudes out there, and it's not like eight guys and a couple guys that they're like trying to hide out there. So it's like holes close quick. The windows close quick. I mean, the game speed was different. Now walking away, you're like, it's football. You know, it took you like, all right, I needed to see it up close, full speed, but it's football. You know, this is still a good play. This is still a good scheme. Those kind of things. But, yeah, I would say definitely the game
speed
was different.
You never let the kids know that you didn't think it was that fast. Oh, I knew this was fast all the time, right?
In all fairness, week two, it was Parker Krim. So it didn't really matter which side. He was usually the one filling that run hole very quickly.
Oh, by the way, you guys have to stop the D1 athlete in the gym.
I'm just amazed he said speed, and he had Michael Garlock.
Yeah.
Well, he said on the line, not on the outsides. I'm telling you what, the kid watches this stuff. He called me after the last time. Why am I catching strays?
We love you, Michael. We love you. Hey, guys, I have some rapid-fire questions for you, okay? So I want an honest answer for you. On growing up, who was the better athlete?
Me, for sure.
Depends on the sport.
What were you better at?
Well, he didn't play basketball. So and baseball. So.
Okay, all right.
So every sport other than football.
He had a little size. I mean,
yeah.
A little.
I was a pulling guard. He was definitely a big D tackle. So.
All right, who was smarter growing up?
That's definitely me, for sure.
If he wants that one, he can have that.
Who was tougher?
Hey, I mean, I played through a broken back, so I don't
know.
He's pretty tough. I'd say when you're the youngest, you get beat up a little bit. So I'd give him credit. He survived all the, you know, big brother beating up on him. He did a nice job. So he's still here, so he must be fairly tough.
All right, who is better looking in high school?
Well, I mean, look at us now.
You can tell by looking at it. I mean, come on now.
Who would win in a wrestling match right now?
I'd have to finish it quick, man.
Last one. Is it a requirement to be on the Shawnee football staff that you have to have facial hair?
We'd take anybody that knows the game of football, man.
Well, guys, I ask the same question every week. I always ask it to players. I'm going to ask it to – I don't know if I've ever asked this to coaches. This might be a first. What's the one school you enjoy beating the most?
You know, coming into the conference, man, I don't know that we have that figured out yet. I'm going to be honest with you.
Say one and you'll have a rivalry right away.
Right. When you go through them, I mean, there's a lot of, but for me, if you want to be the best, beat the best. So I'd say, honestly, if you want me to put it on record, I want to beat Walpole.
Oh, sure.
They've been winning the conference, and they're the guys sitting on top, so that's who I want to beat.
Well, that's interesting because we have Travis Moyer.
I don't know why I looked.
Travis, what about you?
I think it's I'd like to win one of those close ones we had early in the year, Bath. I mean, I thought we had them guys on the ropes. Yeah. Our kids battled. It's going to be two heavy senior classes. I think it would just be great for us if we could go out and get one from a team that was at middle of the pack to the top end of the pack. Go out there and compete with those guys. And they were a local rivalry when we were out east guys. So
yeah, being new guys in the conference, how did the other coaches respond to you guys? Do you guys have good relationships with most of them?
Yeah, I think everybody was pleasant. You know, there's definitely – there's always the new guy love that gets showed to everybody. Yeah, sure. You know, like they want to let you know who they are. And as far as – like they're not going to come out there and take it easy on you. Like, hey, this is the WBL, boys. Welcome to it. And I thought everybody was cordial and looking forward to it. A lot of great coaches in the conference. And every week you better bring it or you're going to end up on the wrong side of it.
Well, guys, we appreciate you coming in. It's been a great time. Best of luck next year. And, you know, maybe you'll get that wrestling match, Travis.
He don't want that smoke. That'd be my day.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on. Yep,
yeah. Well, gentlemen, speaking of high school basketball, let's get right to it. We've got a ton of games on WOSN this week, and let's start with game number one, Friday night, the Shawnee Indians at Ottawa Glandorf, Randy Roberts and Miles Holiday on the call. Gentlemen, the last couple years, this one's been for all the marbles. Now, OG down a little bit, but I'm here to tell you. I saw them this weekend, and you know what I'm going to say. Shawnee better watch themselves because this OG team is playing their best basketball right now.
Yeah, I think this will be the seventh time that I've had OG this year, and you're right, Danny. They are playing a really good basketball right now. Held a really good Upper Sandusky team that was averaging about 64 points. Held them to around 40. They were playing lights out defense and rebounding the basketball. But to me, the biggest improvement is now early in the year, they had guys that were kind of reluctant scorers. Not anymore. They got guys that know their roles. Big bad Brody Fortman. He is a 6'4 monster when he gets going. And then Grady Tomazos has really settled into that guy when they need a shot. He's not afraid to go ahead and take it. Now, that being said, I like their improvement, but beating Shawnee is going to be a big task.
Yeah, you're talking about a Shawnee team that has won their last nine games by an average of 20 points.
Right.
Right. They've turned
most impressive team in the area.
They've turned into a juggernaut. Ever since that Delphi St. John's loss, they've just been blowing teams out. They've only had one game that's been less than double digits anyway, and that was a win against Kaleida. So this is kind of one of those things where before the season even started, right, there was a lot of expectations put on this Shawnee Indians team. And a lot of people are like, these guys are the favorites. These are the guys that you need to look for to win the conference.
And rightfully so.
And being told that and being able to accomplish that are two different things. They are one game away. Yeah. They win this game. They've secured the Western Buckeye League. I don't expect a letdown. I don't expect a look ahead. Because right now there's nothing to look ahead for them. This is one of their goals. This is one of the things that they set out to do.
Sure.
All focus will be on this game. And I know, you know, OG's been playing better defense. But quite frankly, I think that Shawnee put to rest any concerns that we may have about their ability to handle pressure and fast pace and up-tempo play in that Lima senior game.
Yeah. Guys, game two Friday night, Lincoln View at Crestview. Lincoln View has lost five in a row, and there's good news for Lincoln View and bad news for Lincoln View. The bad news is that or the good news, excuse me, is that Crestview's coming off a loss to LCC. The bad news is Crestview's coming off a loss to LCC. That's going to fire them.
Well, and a win against
Coldwater.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Before we move on to that one, Dan, I do want to say congratulations to Coach Triplett over at Shawnee.
Absolutely.
200 wins.
Man, absolutely.
That is pretty outstanding stuff. Yeah. But you're right, Danny. Lincoln View is a struggling basketball team. You look at that roster, it's just lacking size, right? And one thing that Crestview has inside is a lot of size, especially when they go with that twin tower look of Wren and Will Sheets. The stat last week that just shocked me when I was preparing for Crestview, Wren Sheets, 71% from the field. 71% from the field. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Very efficient.
Now, if Lincoln View is going to have a chance, Max Hammonds, who had 20 points against Jefferson, he's going to have one of those crazy nights, right?
Yeah. You know, I saw Crestview on Friday night against LCC, and Wren Sheets actually had a pretty rough game.
He did.
He wasn't able to to get going and do his normal thing for most of that game. It was a great bounce back for them, though, the very next night, having to go and play Coldwater, a really good team, and they end up winning that game. That was a great game for them. I think that was a confidence builder.
I was a little bit shocked by that, were you?
I was as well, especially coming off of that loss against LCC. Yep. You weren't quite sure where their head would be because for them – that, you know, LCC was trying to win that game to at least still give themselves a outside shot at maybe a Crestview wins. They control their own destiny. They're co-champs. Like, that was a huge game for them. I was surprised to see them look the way they did early in that game. They made a run late, but it ended up falling short. But, you know, I have talked to Frank Hill about this Lincoln View Crestview matchup, and he says this is one of those games. Records really don't matter. This is a rivalry game. Both communities are going to show up big. This, the kids know all about this game, and this is just one of those games where, yes, Lincoln View is down. Yes, they have struggled. They're on a 5-game losing streak, potentially a 6-game. They do have a game before that one. But it may not matter coming into this one because they'll be up just a little bit more. And if you're Crestview, you're probably out of that conference talk now. You know, are you going to have another letdown? Are you going to potentially look past this one? Is the rivalry going to mean as much to Crestview as maybe it potentially will for Lincoln View? Because in a down season, sometimes these rivalry wins are the things that can get you back up and ready to go.
Yeah, it's a good point by you because they got Lincoln View, and then are they looking ahead to DSJ on Saturday also? That's another big matchup. Crestview, though, there's no secret about it. When they get good guard play, they got a chance to win. Friday night against LCC, they didn't shoot real well. Mm-hmm. Saturday, they go to Coldwater. Owen Heckler goes nuts from behind the line at three. He hits 5-6 of them. They win that basketball game. It frees things up, Ben, for Wren Sheets.
And another surprising WSN news, Dave Bowen will be on the call.
No!
Yes.
Crestview Dave.
Exactly. Game three, guys, Friday night, Marion Local at Minster. Mark Schein, Jack McGuire on the call. Guys, what's significant about this game is Marion Local, for one time this year, they're going to have a guy that can go in the post and match up with Austin Niekamp on the defensive end. And fellas, we know where post defense starts. It starts on the perimeter. Minster's guards are fantastic
at
getting on ball defense. I think this could be the game of the weekend.
Yeah, and it's a brutal 3-game stretch Marion Local. They have the rescheduled game against Spencerville that's probably being played right now as we are recording this. Then they have this Minster game on Friday night. And then they close the season out with Rushi. Absolutely brutal end of the season.
Where have we heard Rushi at before? Yeah.
I mean, absolutely brutal. And so you just wonder the mentality that Minster is going to have coming into this game. Or I'm sorry, Marion Local is going to have coming into this game. You know, you have this game tonight. You get a couple of days to get ready for it. It's obviously a big conference game. Marion Local, You know, you never know what's going to happen, right? You only got the one loss at Adelphus St. John's. But, man, then you got Rushi. You know the tournament draw. Like, there's just a lot going on here. But it'll be very interesting. I think it's a great tune-up. And, you know, as you're getting – and I'm sure that's why this was scheduled the way it was, especially then with Rushi following. Marion Local is going to get challenged. They're going to finally see some people that can match up with them player for player. That it's a great measuring stick for how they're going to look and what they're going to do come tournament time.
Yeah, Marion Local, I mean, it goes back to football, right? Every game they play is a big game, right? They're just so used to playing in big matchups. I don't know if it phases them, but I do like Minster, the fact that Cole Richard had 19 points against St. Mary's. That is a guy guy that if he's the go-to guy moving forward, I kind of like their chance. Danny, it is going to be a classic matchup between can the guard play out on the perimeter, affect what's going on inside. It's just a fun matchup.
Guys, game five Saturday, Shawnee goes to Wayne Trace. Randy Roberts, Miles Holiday on the call. Guys, is there any chance that Shawnee has a letdown? And the reason I say this is you're going on a long bus ride. You and I had this game 2 years ago up at Wayne Trace. It's a big gym. Wayne Trace. Yeah, Wayne Trace is really well coached. Shawnee didn't play well up there 2 years ago.
No.
And this doesn't mean anything. And when I say it doesn't mean anything, sure, if you're a competitor, it means something. No. But it doesn't mean anything for RPI. It doesn't mean anything for seeding. It doesn't mean anything for conference standings.
Yeah. And you know, you talked about when the game that we saw a couple years ago. What was the big difference in that game?
They were all freshmen and sophomores, yeah.
Well, and not even that. Who was on Wayne Trace?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
there was,
Lockoff.
Yeah, it was a different
Who was probably – it was next to Colin White was the best player I'd seen that
year. It was a different Wayne Trace team. They shot lights out from behind the three-point line. Now, this is still a Wayne Trace team that can get hot at times. You've seen them, Miles. I mean, you know, they can at times shoot well from behind the three-point line. They are well coached. And so, you know, I never want to count a Wayne Trace team out, but I don't think that this is a Wayne Trace team that 9 out of 10 times knock off Shawnee.
Usually you go to Wayne Trace and you expect to have that three-quarter court zone pressure, right? And they're going to get turnovers and they'll play half court with it and you get those turnovers. I don't think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see Jimmy Linder sit in a 2-3 zone and dare Shawnee to try and hit jumpers from three.
I think it's a dangerous game to play with Shawnee.
But think about that, though. If you're Wayne Trace and you're spreading the floor, isn't that even more dangerous with Shawnee? Right? And you don't get
the turnovers. I guess you're picking your poison, yeah.
Yes, exactly. No. If Wayne Trace is going to have any chance, and our good friend Brady Stabler said this might be the worst shooting team Wayne Trace has had in 5-10
years.
Brady
gives us a lot of insight on these kids.
He does.
And he tells us a lot of things that, yeah.
Lockoff and Sin are going to have one of those nights where they're both really hot from three and keep them in this basketball game because, as we know, Shawnee just way too many weapons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you look at Wayne Trace, really it's a three-man team with Carter Clemens inside. And if Zach Stoller plays well for them, maybe it's a four-man team. But usually it's Sin, Lockoff, and Carter Clemens.
Boys, quench your thirst, because Saturday night it's the Lima Cup. LCC at Lima Senior. Garrett Mansfield, Mark Schein. I don't care what the records are on this game. This is as fun a game as there is every year. I still get on YouTube all the time and watch the year that Xavier Simpson hit the buzzer beater from the free throw line.
Man,
this is a rivalry like no other. I love this game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this game gives you moments. You know, that one.
Yeah, that's a better way to say it.
That is a game. You know, you talked about the Xavier Simpson one. I can remember exactly where I was standing in the gym when that shot went down for Xavier Simpson. There are moments that this game produces, and I got a feeling that we're going to see another one. There's a lot of history here. There's a lot of, you know, familiarity, not just from playing basketball with each other, but just, you know, we know, you know, obviously Willie, the former LCC player. We have people that used to go through the Lima City schools over at LCC now. These guys know each other real well. The big thing is you're dealing with a much more experienced, in my opinion, Lima senior team than
Absolutely.
We are dealing with an
well,
LCC
team. Well, the backcourt alone is just,
and
the experience.
That, I think, what's going to be the most difficult, this is going to be Azad Burton's and Jeff Williams' first Lima Cup. The gym is going to be a different atmosphere than anything they've experienced.
Right.
Even that sold-out Delphi St. John's game is not going to compare to what you'll see at the Lima Cup on Saturday night. And how they'll handle that, I think, is going to be a huge part of how this game goes.
I absolutely love DJ Jazzy Jeff Williams. I think he is fantastic. He is one of those guys.
He's playing so much better, too. Like growth from the beginning of the season to now is great.
He is faster dribbling the basketball than he is running up and down the basketball. He's one of those rare kids. But you brought up a really good point, right? It's going to be kind of what is going on in this gym. A very veteran, very quick, very deep senior team. I just think they're going to make Jeff Williams, Azad Burton's life very difficult, right? They're both kind of emotional players, right? And you got to have that even keel. Jordan Pretty's going to have one of those Jordan Pretty type nights
He's
to keep him in it. He is.
Yeah. Well, and I just, especially after what we saw this last weekend from Jaquel Cotton, I just don't know how LCC will guard Jaquel Cotton in this one.
Yeah. I think Brady Parker.
He'll get the first crack of
it
for sure.
Right. And Brady's a tough dude. Love watching him because he does everything that team needs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. right? And he scores, but he doesn't get 10 shots a game. Brady Parker's going to have to be a really good rebounder because Shawnee attacks the glass.
Senior.
This game, fellas, next year at the same time, we're going to look at this and go, that's going to be a classic matchup because everybody's coming back.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, except with Joe Kelcon.
Joe Kelcon will be the only
everybody else is going. Game 7, guys. Crestview and Delphi St. John's. Surprise, surprise, Dave Bowen on the call for this one. Josiah Stober. Guys, this has turned into a really good rivalry. This is a really good game.
Do these schools realize it's the last weekend of the regular season?
I know, right?
Like, do they realize like they can take it easy and get ready for tournament? They don't have to play these monumental games?
That'll be a sellout. That'll be a sellout.
100%.
I was talking to Diamond Dave about this, and he goes, well, you know, you guys want to get your guys ready for the tournament. I'm like, well, how about destroying their confidence for the tournament? Where's the cupcake time? You know, make yourselves feel pretty good. Boy, what a classic matchup. Don't you think that if Crestview wins this one, it's got to be like a 49, 45, maybe 50-point game. They just pound the basketball in the half court, eat the clock, figure out that we're going to get the ball to Ren and Will Sheets over and over again, because we've said something about DSJ all year long. They're not big inside, right? They're not great inside.
Every time we say that, though, they still win. Figure it out.
Well, two weeks ago, we sat in the studio and said there's no way Shawnee can score 80 points and beat Lima Senior. They did.
Yeah.
So we're just – well, this is so hard to figure out.
And somehow, again, Delphi St. John's has this huge matchup at home, right? Like they get all these – now, what I'm interested –
on the road next year, though.
Well, what I'm interested to see, though, too, is, you know, how Delphi St. John's starts handling these bigger matchups and these bigger moments as they move through the tournament away from the friendly confines of the Vatican, right? Like, at some point, they got to win –
it's a really good point.
Away, all their big matchups, for the most part, have been at home. They've got that kind of – that insulated atmosphere. You know, it may not affect them at all, but at some point they're going to play one of these huge matchups away, and it's just different when you're not in your home gym.
I really like their chances no matter what gym they're in, as long as the floor is dry. If the floor is dry, DSJ is going to go.
You're not wrong.
If there's
a
3-point line,
no.
I like them.
Guys, game 8, Saturday night. Lima Temple Christian is at Ada. Myself and the Princess of Positivity, Kelsey Beimer,
on the
call for this big matchup. Guys, I don't know if you – we don't talk much about Temple Christian on here, but let me just say this. Bruce Bowen at Temple Christian, fantastic coach, does a great job. He's got them at 12-8. They're 5-3 in the Northwest Central Conference. And then you look on the other side of the floor, Chris Souter in his return to Ada. They're 13-7, 6-3 in the BVC. Guys, they bring back everybody.
Yeah.
That team is loaded for next year. I'm telling you, these two teams are going to be really good.
Well, Chris Otter has said that part of the reason why he took that Ada job was he said, I looked at the landscape. This was a young team. I felt we could grow into it. And he embraced that. I think this is a great matchup. You got two teams, right, kind of similar records. They both kind of mirror one another in the way that they play. I think this is a fantastic matchup.
I have breaking news.
No, you do.
Our good friend Gilly the Great, Darren Gilbert, just text me. You know, he's an assistant over at Ada.
Yeah.
Turns out they went back through his high school records. He has one game of eligibility. He is suiting up for Ada tonight.
Oh, he's going to give them the best minute 30 that they've ever got in playing time.
Get him the ball. It'll be like he smokes 12 packs of cigarettes a day. Oh, the poor folks at Temple Christian Ada, they just got robbed of a nice segment. I'm looking forward to this game. I think it's going to be a good matchup.
Yeah,
Temple Christian plays really hard, and Ada's got some really good athletes, and I just think it's a good matchup.
Well, they got Derek Schultz over at Temple Christian. What a stat stuffer he is. 15 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, even drove the school bus against Macomb. He is a fantastic player in this Ada team. I like their ability to, if you want to play a slow game, they can still do that and win games. If you want to go a little up-tempo, they'll do that as well. Levi Green, we know what a great,
fantastic player
he is. I just really like the fact that this is a team, like you said, Danny, really well coached. Darren Gilbert does a great job. And by the way, Gilly, congratulations, Hardin County Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's good to see the excitement back in Ada basketball.
Right. Yeah, it is good. Guys, the boys' draw came out on Sunday. Let's talk about who has the toughest bracket. And I don't know if I want to use this word, who is a lock to make it to Dayton, because that makes us have to pick. And we know how Nate is with picking teams.
Well, I'll be all right this week.
Okay. We're going to start with you.
So I got to be honest. After looking through all of the brackets for the teams in our area, I find it really hard for anybody to argue with me that LCC doesn't have the hardest road.
Yeah.
Their second game, now I'm prefacing this with saying that all seeds will hold, right? We know upsets can happen, but for the purpose of what we're doing, let's say all seeds will hold. That means their second game is going to be Bluffton. Their third game would be a rematch against Crestview, who they just had.
It's unbelievable.
They then go out of that game and they'll play their regional semifinals against Patrick Henry.
All right.
They win that game. Then they have either a 17-1 Colonel Crawford or a 17-1 Mohawk team waiting for them. And then their state semifinal matchup will most likely be the winner of the district that has Spencerville and Marion local. Tell me a harder path.
Yeah, that I was just going to.
NBA East.
I was going to agree with you on that, because who wants to play Bluffton in round number two?
Right. They already played once. That was a tough LCC won that matchup. But show me a team that hasn't played a harder schedule and has better losses than Bluffton. Yeah. That is a good program.
It's a great
team. I don't want to see them.
And on the other side with Columbus Grove, who's more athletic 1 through 12 on a roster than Columbus Grove? Mm-hmm. They're unbelievable. And you really know the problems that Crestview gave them. Yeah. Could have won that one. I agree with you, Nate. That is a tough bracket.
Yeah. I look at a couple teams, and I said this on the radio today. Spencerville and Marion Local are playing tonight. Mm-hmm. They got, they supposed to play Saturday night. Because of the weather, they moved it to tonight. Guys, they're going to play in the district final, which is incredible.
I don't disagree with you, but it's hard to say that game against Coldwater is a given. Good Coldwater program.
But if I had to pick, I would say, and it's one of those two teams is going to be done at the district final, which is an absolute mind bending.
It is.
And then you've got my other ones are Delphus, St. John, Shawnee, and Lima Senior. And I really, guys, I keep saying this, I really like Shawnee as far as what they can do with their length and their versatility. Mm-hmm. And I said it, if their guards off the bench play just consistent basketball, I think
that's your lock.
No. I'm just throwing names out there.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. All right.
Yeah, difficult roads. Right. Delphus St. John's.
You're just saying that because there's one stop. Because if you look at Delphus St. John's Road, it's not overly concerning until they get to one game.
Right.
I call it.
Like, you can't look at Delphus St. John's path and be like, ooh, that's a tough path. I mean, they still got to win games, but there's one game.
I call it, right?
Come on, man.
I mean, and looking at the sectional district, I mean, DSJ, I think, is pretty smooth.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be one, and that should be a Delphus St. John's Minster matchup in that district final. Obviously, Minster is a good team. It's not going to be a walk in the park, but I don't see any other matchups really causing them a lot of issues until they get to
but
that Rushi
outside
matchup.
Of Delphus St. John's, Shawnee, Spencerville, Lima Senior, and Marion Local, you don't have confidence in anybody else like you have confidence in those guys, right? Would you agree with me?
I agree. I think
Liberty Benton.
I think Liberty Benton is getting overlooked because I think realistically when you look at our area, I think that four of the seven divisions can have a representative at UD when it's all said and done.
Which would be amazing.
And the teams I have said is Lima Senior, Shawnee, Spencerville, Delphus St. John's.
Yeah.
I do think now doing a little bit more research, I think Liberty Benton has flown under the radar in this area.
Absolutely.
I really do. It wasn't until we had that game and I started looking into them, realizing how good of a season they really have had.
Not like they're Eakin Bay either.
And they're the lone D5 representative in this area that we're familiar with for the most part. I can't say that they don't have a legitimate chance as well. But
guys, any sleepers? Any sleeper? Any team that's kind of went under the radar that's maybe played
I think
right
Liberty
above?
Liberty Benton for me.
Well,
but they're 17-1.
Yeah, but nobody knows
I
it.
I know. Right? I mean, that's a bad job.
Well, you could talk about Bluffton being a sleeper, right? Seven losses.
I don't know. They play such a tough schedule.
They do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But even their losses, it wasn't like they were blown out. They play and they put Liberty Benton to overtime.
I would say maybe Elida also.
Guys, we're forgetting another team, too, that's made so many trips to the state tournament over the last 10 years, and that's Crestview. Every time we count them out, they get the player of the year, Northwest Conference, and Ren Sheets, and they've got good guard play there.
Well, we're talking about – but I also think that we're talking about that district and how difficult that district for LCC is. The path is just as difficult for anybody that's going to come out that comes out of there. They're going to have to play each other and pick each other off. And
isn't it fun?
And then once you come out of that, it's not like the road gets any easier.
Right.
I mean, Patrick Henry's waiting. There are some people, that depending on who you talk to, whether or not Patrick Henry, that schedule allows them to, you know, but they're still undefeated. They still beat some good teams in that schedule.
They have three really good ball players.
Yeah, that team is, and then, like I said, we were kind of talked about that path. So I think that district by far, whoever comes out of that district has the hardest path. Now, what I'll say about that Spencerville Marion local one is I think that's the hardest. I think that's a harder district. I think Spencerville, Coldwater, Marion local, that is probably one of the harder ones to do. Now, but I do think who wins that one has a much easier road to UD, because I think the regional is not that difficult when you look at who they could potentially match up against. I think whoever comes out of that district will be the favorite to win the regional, and then they get the matchup against, you know, that LCC Crestview district winner most likely, or it could be Patrick Henry or somebody else.
Well, I think next week aren't we actually picking the districts?
So we talked about hardest road. Who's not your lock, but who do you think? Maybe has the easiest way, or who do you see most likely making their way to UD?
I like Senior. As long as they get by Anthony Wayne in the district.
Why do you think Anthony Wayne's an issue for them?
Anthony Wayne's pretty good. At 13-4, they only lost to Toledo Whitmer by 3 points.
Well, yeah, but then that Whitmer, they were missing three of their starters, including two-time All-State player in West. That was a weakened Whitmer.
Still, team. I mean, when you look at the length of Anthony Wayne, they can put out some size. I think that might be a problem. Depends how the game is played, but you know, if they get by Anthony Wayne, I think Senior's going to be fine.
Yeah, so I agree. It was going to be Senior for me as well. I think Senior, and it sets up very nicely. Their state semi, if they make it that way, is at the Elida Fieldhouse. I think things line up very nicely for Lima Senior to have a game at UD.
I love that venue, too.
Yeah. For me, it's Shawnee. I watched them, what they did to Senior High. They can play that style. You want to play half-court set? We got length. We got size. We've got guards. We can knock down shots. you tell me anybody that has three bigs that can pull you out from the basket like Shawnee. I said three, not one or two. I mean, it's incredible what they have.
Great complimentary parts, too.
They have great complimentary parts, and Mark Triplett is really underrated in my book. I think that guy does a great job.
I think we saw last year the capabilities of this Shawnee team. You know, they make it to the regional semis before they finally – you know, they get knocked off by Shelby in a game where basically it was Beckett Berkey versus Shelby, right? Like, I mean, that's pretty much how that game happened. Now he has a lot more help. You know, Trevick has had a bigger role. Jagger's had a bigger role. Tate Bender has played really well. That, you know, they have other guys that can do things on that team now. And so I think that you're right. I think Shawnee sets up nicely. I like the matchup against TCC. I think there's some people that look at that and think that, oh, I don't think so.
I don't
like
either.
Shawnee in that game.
I do too.
And then coming out of that, maybe it's Lexington. Maybe it's Lutheran West. But I think that that's a game that they can play in as well. I don't know as much about them this year, but I still like this Shawnee team.
Yeah.
I really do.
I just saw the confidence against Lima Senior, because I think those guys thought, man, what we did to...
Difference in their eyes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was incredible. And look, Senior didn't have an answer for them. And they ran and ran and ran, and they still couldn't stop the inside game. They couldn't stop the outside game. It was really, really
impressive. I just
think
the confidence has grown so much on that team since that loss to Delphus St. John's. They've just been a different team.
A game where they probably think they let that go.
100%. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Guys, Friday night.
Wait, hold on. Miles didn't tell us. Who do you think is going to go?
Oh, you're right.
To what?
We almost left.
I did. I said Senior.
Oh, no. Wait, so who'd you say?
I said Shawnee.
Oh, all right, never mind.
Yeah, you two said Senior. I said Shawnee.
You know what? My bad. This is why it's Danny's show.
Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. You speak when you're spoken to. You. Guys, I love you guys so much. My heart is full, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And Friday night is Valentine's Day.
Sure
is. Is there anything more romantic than calling basketball games for Nick Fraley and WSN and not spending time with our loved ones? Oh, by the way, I don't have a game that night. My wife and I are going out for dinner.
Weird.
Yeah, I know.
How'd that work?
Don't know, but I got a game Saturday night.
How about that? Couples going out for dinner on Valentine's Day. So original, Danny.
Yeah, I love
that one. I can't wait to cuddle up with Randy Roberts on Valentine's Day.
Just
get
in the booth, my friend.
I got a game of my own that I'm going to be calling. I'm excited to be there. And, you know, listen, you know, every night's Valentine's Day at my house.
You know what I'm doing? I'm on my Valentine's weekend game this week. I'm taking those little hearts and I'm going to throw them out on the court for the kids. Like, take a three.
Oh, that's
rebound.
Good. That's good.
Yeah. I love your jump shot. Yeah. Nice sneakers.
I'm super glad we did this segment. Wow.
All right, guys. The Stolly Superstar of the Week, the Stolly Sensational Team of the Week, the Stolly Top 3 Teams of the Week. Guys, this is huge. Big thanks to Stolle Insurance, man. They come through all the time for us. Yeah. This is a great segment.
Yeah, they love basketball. Yeah, don't absolutely. They love high school sports. My Stolle superstar of the week, boy, it's tough to pick anyone other than Jaquel Cotton, isn't it? 40 points, 10th
Listen, just because I took all of your Diamond Dave Bowen stuff, why do you have to take
it? He saw it right here on my paper. He knew who I was going to pick. I can't stand it when you do that.
Look, I was at OG last
year. Quick segment.
I was at OG last year when Erford had 10 threes, and it was as impressive as Cotton hitting 10 threes. And I made a joke that, you know, Dayton Dunbar's not even guarding him. But you couldn't, because he's 6'7", and he's just jumping through the air on his jump shot, and he's releasing at it like 7'3". I've never seen a kid more dialed in. His 11th three went around the rim and fell out. That's how on hot, how fire he was on.
So I agree with you. I think it's Jaquel Cotton. And it's not just because of that 44 performance. But he had 10 rebounds too, didn't he?
He did.
It was a double night. It isn't even that. It is the young man lost his father
a
few
point.
Weeks ago. He, you know, is actually they had the funeral a couple of days prior to that Shawnee game. A lot of emotional stuff for him that he's been going through. This OG game was really the first, or the game against Dunbar at OG was really the first kind of game that, you know, he was kind of back to normal. That had stuff had kind of been able to move past. And for him to go out there, have that kind of performance after all the stuff that he's gone through, you know, we talk about it all the time, right? Like, you know, sometimes the game gets bigger than life. You know, we forget these kids have things going on outside of the game. He was able to put all that behind him, have a huge performance, help his team win. And I think, you know, you're going to see Jaquel Cotton become he's already been a big part of this Lima senior team, but he's one of them unsung heroes because of all the talent around him. But if they're going to win a state championship this year, Jaquel Cotton is going to be a huge part of that.
Yeah. Must be a really well-liked and respected player, because when we were there, Danny, he got the 40th point, and that bench just absolutely erupted for him.
Yeah. Yep. I had Jaquel Cotton also, too, but I had not far behind him is Willie Foster. The show he put on this weekend, guys, he is just dynamic, and I'm going to start calling him Willie Fog Foster, because you don't see it coming. That kid just comes, just flies over top of everybody. I'm telling you, he's sensational.
I'm sure he'll like that one.
Yes, I'm sure he will. Yeah. My nicknames usually resonate with the kids, with all the kids, you know.
The Fog.
Yeah, the Fog. But Jaquel Cotton was amazing. And he was so humble. And they're my team of the week, because they really stomped on Dunbar. Coming off that loss to Shawnee, I was really impressed with senior high Saturday. You know, travel up to OG, not a huge crowd, but they brought their, you know, fair share of Spartan fans. Man, they put a show on for the rest of the crowd.
They did. That dunk. Yeah. Nate, it was the dunk, and you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
Everybody just took a... It was so quiet when it first happened in that gym, because it was just nobody believed what we saw.
He did a spin move, and I thought he was going to go in and lay it in, and he just
boom.
He took off. Well, and the tower control said, "Take off, Willie Fog Foster." Boom.
Well, and I think that's the thing that's the most impressive to me about when you watch his dunks. You know, he's made SportsCenter top 10.
Yeah.
He's done all these things. You know, the show, it's all incredible. But when you watch some of those replays, you're just like, oh, okay. Like, he makes it look so easy and effortless. Like, it's not when you're in the gym, it is different than when you watch the highlight reel of it. But it's effortlessly for him.
Well, it was kind of funny, because we both said it, that you could tell Dayton Dunbar came out to stop Sean Foster. Well, in the meantime, Jaquel Cotton's getting 40, and Willie's dunking every time down the floor. And I'm thinking, who's running your scouting service here, guys?
I text my brothers that clip, and I said, have you ever seen a better high school dunk? And immediately, no chance. That was incredible.
Yeah. Who's your team of the week, guys?
Go ahead, Nate.
You know, for me, I'm going to go with LCC. I think that the win against Crestview on Friday night, it was a really big win for this team. That was our seventh straight victory. After a 6-6 start, things were a little dicey.
Yeah, the reports that we heard out of there weren't good.
Like, you know, this team has figured some things out. Coach Powell has gone through a lot of different shifts with his starting lineup. I've said it for a couple of weeks now, though, but I cannot say enough about the return of Drew Pister to that lineup and to that Thunderbird program. I think it changes that dynamic. It changes the way they play. It changes a lot of things that they can do. And there's not a lot of weakness now when you can put him out there, because now you have that size back, and now you have that athleticism back. That was a big one. Now, and that, you know, that fourth quarter, I'm sure they would love to have a redo on.
Right.
But for three quarters, they absolutely dominated the Knights.
How good do you think Don McKee can be inside for them moving forward?
Good. I think people saw him come out like, oh, big body, he's good to go.
Yeah.
But they got to understand this is, you know, he's new to basketball.
Yeah.
He's still learning on the fly. I think maybe there might have been too much expectation too quick on Don McKee, but it's nice to be able to put him in there when Piecer needs to come out. And if you really do need size, you could play both of those because Piecer's kind of that stretch four. He can play outside. He doesn't have to be inside. You have that big body with McKee that you can put down low. So I do think it gives them some additional options.
He's got great hair too.
He does.
It's
yes.
unbelievable. Yes, it's like Fletch or something. Danny, mine is I'm going to steal yours. Senior. I was so impressed with them. They had been challenged and maybe not responded in other games like the Shawnee, right? But they were really challenged in that first quarter against Dunbar. And instead of having that moment where like, I don't know what we're going to do, they responded, man, and they threw an overhand right back at Dunbar. And I'm going to praise Quincy Simpson, the head coach over there. You know, everybody talks about him. He gets a lot of great athletes to play over there, right? But he had a fantastic coaching job.
Really
jumped
good.
To a 2-3 zone, and it really changed the complexion of that
we
basketball game.
That, yeah.
Held Dunbar to 4 points in that second quarter. So hats off to Coach Simpson and the whole team.
And the big kid from Dunbar had just a couple buckets in the first half,
right.
And he went off in the second half. But that game was decided.
Way
that
over.
Game was decided,
Way over.
Guys, your top three teams this week. Nate, we'll start with you.
For me, Shawnee, Spencerville, Delphi, St. John's. I mean, I think that right now, trying to pick a top three out of these,
it's not fair.
Because then, you know, who have I left out?
Lima Senior,
right? Like, how do you say that they're not one of your top three?
Right.
We have such good teams. I mean, Marion Local's left out of that. There's so many good teams that are playing really good basketball right now. But, you know, obviously what Shawnee is doing with that big win a few weeks ago against Lima Senior, how they've been playing. Delphi St. John just continues to be impressive week in and week out. Same way with Spencerville. So right now, that's my top three, you know.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Right?
What are you going to do, leave
DSJ out?
Right.
Are you
going to
leave Spencerville out? You're going to leave Senior out? You're going to leave Shawnee out? I mean, it's so tough. So that's why I'm going with four. Shawnee, Senior, DSJ,
you just break every rule we make on this show.
Well, if you don't like that, you're not going to like this one because I am leaving DSJ out.
And
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So I'm leaving Marion Local out because they're not going to win their conference.
Yeah.
I'm leaving DSJ out because I'm putting Spencerville in. And Spencerville beat them on their home court.
Good point.
With Shawnee and Lima Senior. So I'm going with Spencerville, Shawnee, Lima Senior. No disrespect to the Blue Jays or Marion Local. I can't believe I'm leaving
Shawnee
them out.
Beat Lima Senior, though.
I got them both in there.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but you said you dropped DSJ out because Marion Local beat them, and you couldn't put Marion Local because they weren't.
But I also think that if Lima Senior played DSJ or Marion Local, I think.
Well, all right. I got an idea. All right, because we all know that you said Rushi's going to win when DSJ plays him, right?
Did I say that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, several times.
If Nick can find the clip, he plays it here.
So I have an idea for you to make it up to DSJ. All right, a couple weeks ago on Out of Bounds, we had a salute to Yacht Rock. Maybe Danny, who wrote his own original Yacht Rock song, which kind of featured lyrics for DSJ, maybe next week you could perform that here on the show.
If DSJ gets another couple wins, I will perform.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
What week do we think that might be?
Probably next week. St. John's doesn't lose.
Oh, okay.
So next week, on a completely
unrelated note, I'm actually not going to be able to be here next week, guys. So.
We'll get Mark Shine here. He's good.
I was gonna.
How bad are you going to feel when it's less views?
All right, Danny, go ahead. Start singing.
All right, guys. Let's talk about the Buckeyes, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they hired Brian Hartline as the new offensive coordinator and Tyler Bowen as the new offensive line coach. Tyler Bowen comes over from Virginia Tech. You guys like the hires?
I'm a little confused by Tyler Bowen because when you study his career,
it's odd, isn't it?
It is. He's only coached offensive line for 3 years. Now I know he played offensive line, but you know he spent time as a tight end. He spent time as a coordinator. He was with Urban at Jacksonville, so it was almost like Ryan Day called Urban up and was like, "Hey, you got anybody? You think?" And he's like, "Yeah, I know this guy.
Tyler's over in the house. He's got some iced teas. He's doing nothing."
I'm confused by that as your offensive line hire. It must be a guy that can relate to college kids and recruit well, because as we know, Justin Fry did not like to recruit.
Yeah. So I like it in the sense that I like the fact that you know, usually it's go the opposite way, right? You're an O-line guy, you move somewhere else in the offense, you're working your way up to offensive coordinator. Now you got a guy who's been the offensive coordinator, he's been in the booth, he's ran an entire offense, now he's coming down to that O-line. But he understands the whole picture of an offense a lot more than maybe your typical O-line coach would.
Run the ball.
ball.
And so he understands how the O-line fits into an offensive scheme maybe a little bit better than some of these other guys will. And so in that sense, I like that. I like that our O-line guy understands how an offense runs, how the schemes, what they need out of that O-line in order for the offense to function well. And maybe that helps in recruiting. Maybe that helps, you know, the in-game stuff and his adjustments and all those things.
I think this was strictly a recruiting move. I think they looked at Tyler Bowen. They looked at some of the guys he had at Virginia Tech. They knew what they lacked with Justin Fry. I think Ryan Day's saying to the rest of us, saying, I don't care what we do when we get him here. We got to get 5 and 4 stars here in the building.
You can't go in the portal every year, can you?
Right. You can't go in the portal. No. And here's the other thing, too. You're Ohio. You have to get the best Ohio offensive line.
Oh, you've said that.
They always go to Michigan. Always go to Michigan. You've got to keep them in state.
I've never understood why we try to recruit offensive linemen from California, from Texas. Stay in Ohio.
Go to Moeller. Go to Ignatius.
Those kids want to play at Ohio State. They're going to. They love that place. Now, as the offensive coordinator hire, Brian Hartline, I like it because it keeps Jeremiah Smith on campus, right?
Right.
If you wanted Jeremiah Smith's sister to call a play, okay, as long as you're staying here. I like Brian Hartline because he's been around great coaches. He played in the NFL. He's succeeded everywhere he's ever been. I don't see any reason why he won't be successful here.
Yeah, I like the hire in the sense that I know it didn't go great the last time he had some play calling. Yeah. You know,
well, he never had.
Right.
Well,
right.
He just called it in the spring. He just had the title.
A 6-week trial.
Right. Yeah, he had the
title. But I like it in the sense that you have to think that based off of that last, you know, time having the title, that they have seen growth in him and they've seen enough to be like, okay, now it's time. I can't imagine Brian Hartline signing up to be the offensive coordinator if he hasn't already had a conversation with Ryan Day about, hey, I need to be calling plays. Right. It can't be like the last time.
Because I'm going to go.
And that's what I was thinking.
And I would like to think that the Ohio State has had some foresight. And now seeing how things have kind of played out, seeing that Chip Kelly, now listen, for $6 million, that came out of nowhere. You got to run. But you got to think that Chip Kelly, he was very honest about not liking the college game anymore. He didn't want to be the head coach. He wanted to go to the booth. He didn't like recruiting. He didn't want to be there anymore. So you have to think that there, I would like to think that there would be, that there was some foresight there where it was, hey, listen, I'm going to come, but I'm just letting you know I went back into the league.
Right.
So if that's going to happen, whether it's in a year, 2 years or whatever, let's start getting somebody ready. Mm. And they had some foresight to start getting Brian Hartline ready to take that job for whenever Chip Kelly moved on.
We still have not got a defensive coordinator, gentlemen.
That's strange,
it
right?
is very strange. Who would you want to be the defensive coordinator at Ohio State?
Well, I got news for you. Before the show started, there was a report that Ryan Day was talking to Matt Patricia to be the defensive coordinator at Ohio State.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll get my old hoodies and sweatsuits.
I know, right?
Are you kidding me?
It makes sense, though, right? Because why the delay at it? If you knew your guy, why wouldn't you have hired him already?
Right.
So that tends to make you believe that maybe there was NFL ties to that selection. I don't know if it's going to be good or not.
Do you like that? I don't.
I would stay inside and give it to Matt Guerrero.
That's exactly who I would give it to. You look, fellas, when coaches talk about other coaches, very rarely do you hear them gush about it.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
These coaches, Ryan Day said he is elite.
Yeah.
And I remember Urban Meyer saying that about Ryan Day. When coaches,
call him a rock star.
Yes, and when coaches who are all alpha males, when they say that about another guy, they believe that they have a guy that's better or as capable as them in the same room. Gotta have Matt Guerrero doing this job, right?
Well, so it makes you wonder what's the conversations going on inside the program when it comes to these things. Yeah. We know the landscape of college football that we live in right now. It is all right now about recruiting and NIL and the draws.
Right.
Matt Patricia is a name.
Got rings.
He's a name, and that defense, they can go out. He can hit that recruiting trail. I know what it takes. I've coached in the league. I have the connections. I can get you ready. Meanwhile, here's your money.
Right.
You know, all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it's kind of the same deal. I don't know the deal with Matt and why that move isn't getting made, but I would have to think that with the Patricia, if that stuff comes to fruition, it has to be a lot off of name recognition.
If you bring someone in from outside, it has to be someone with huge cachet. Because otherwise, if you bring in just a regular Joe Schmo from Pitt or somewhere else, why would those other defensive assistants look at him and say, oh, yeah, let's listen to this guy?
Yeah. Right.
Because, dude, we won a natty last year. Dude, we had the number one defense last year. Where were you at? You're giving up 42 points to Toledo in the what bowl?
Yeah. I remember last year at this time when we brought in Bill O'Brien and we were all going bonkers. We got Bill O'Brien, the coach at Ohio State. This is amazing. It didn't work out, but that wasn't Ohio State's fault.
That was great 2 weeks.
Yeah,
great
2 weeks.
Give him a ring.
Yeah, right. Guys, let's switch sports a little bit. And last week, the Buckeye Hoopsters got a big win over Maryland. Oh. We were all pretty excited. And then this weekend, we lose to Nebraska. Guys,
I got to stop writing this at halftime of the Sunday game.
Guys, I get this program frustrates me so bad. And look, I've said it before. I know this is Diebler's first year, and I'm giving him his graces, and I will continue to do that. But, man alive.
Dusty May looks pretty good.
Yes, he does. When is his signature moment going to be there? When is Jake Diebler's signature moment going to be there?
I mean, he beat Purdue 2 weeks ago.
And last year,
he beat Kentucky earlier this season, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess
he's got wins. Listen, this is still a team that when you're looking at the projections, they're saying they're in.
But here's the thing.
You look at some of the things that have happened. You know, Michi Johnson. Nobody knows what's going on with Michi Johnson.
Yeah, but that's not new. They didn't just start this year.
I get it. You've had some injuries.
You forgot he's on the team.
There's just been some times where I've looked at on that floor and thought, we're inadequate at the coaching position only because it's his first year. And I give him that grace because I think he's going to get better as he goes. And he's going to get his guys in here. And that brings me to the next point. You know, the biggest disappointment and the biggest surprise for me, the biggest disappointment for me, guys, is the post play. Oh, it's just been atrocious. Mm-hmm. Sean Stewart and Aaron Bradshaw have not been good at all. When Evan Mahaffey is your best post player, and he really is, he's a 6'6 wing guy that gives you defensive help. He's not a, you know, big time post up guy.
I agree with you, but let me push back a little bit.
Yeah.
What do we do offensively for the post, though?
We don't.
But Miles, we want you to come play post, but
nobody in college basketball does.
Yeah.
We don't have, there's no back to the basket guy in college basketball anymore.
Purdue does it.
They put Devin,
Illinois does it.
Well, they put Devin Royal down there to try to do work down there.
Devin Royal has been a godsend. Yeah. Devin Royal has been the best player with Bruce Thornton. Those guys, we lose those guys for next year. Now, as I say all this stuff, we're not going to lose anybody off this team this year, are we?
Oh, of course, every year. That's part of it, right?
Yeah.
And maybe some of the guys you'd be happy to see go. Look, I'm not sure what we pay Bradshaw in NIL, but I'm sure just shaking my head at it. You know, like, this guy's from Kentucky. We thought he was going to be, like, a difference maker. Is he?
Here's the stuff that frustrates me is this is my biggest fear. We're going to spend a year developing Junie Mobley, and at the end of the year, he's gone.
Nah, Junie's going to stay.
You mean the guy that switched three schools in high school? The guy that switched three high schools? Really? That guy? You're three high schools. I went to one for 4 years. He went to three in four years.
We had Colin White on Out of Bounds, and he said Junie's a messy roommate, so maybe it might be a blessing. No, I want them all to stay, right? And I want this team to be really good. Let me ask you this question. Devin Royal, is he the best pure scorer for Ohio State since maybe Evan Turner?
He reminds me of a more athletic, the kid we got, two-time Mr. Basketball from Illinois a couple years ago. Well, you remember, played for the Pelicans. I can't think of his name. All Big Ten, 6'7" kid. I can't think of his name. But he reminds me of a more more polished player than him.
I mean, I've seen him play a handful of times. I mean, I've been more entrenched in football. I haven't been watching as much, which maybe is a good thing. But you see him,
AJ.
And
not AJ.
I know. We're trying to filibuster for him. You have a phone. The camera's clearly here now.
Look, buddy,
look at it, whether or not I'm putting you on camera.
He was scorer for Ohio State.
I don't think that he's in the same I don't think he's in the same conversation as Evan Turner. From what I've seen overall, I think he's good, but at times I think he's clunky. I think he
disappears a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think that him and Evan Turner right now are in the same breath.
Amazing year by Evan Turner. Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. So, Danny, what did the Google machine tell you?
I'm single camera I'm on the one looking. Camera now. Yeah, on
he was 2-time Mr. Basketball in the state of Illinois.
Yeah,
not AJ. I can't remember his name. I'm terrible. I'm old.
You really can't look it up?
Boy, you guys are putting the camera on me. I thought you guys might talk a little bit.
In all fairness, Megan's putting the camera on you, not us.
Nate, who's your biggest surprise and biggest disappointment?
I think my biggest disappointment for this team isn't so much just one guy. For me, it's kind of been all that excitement that we had. And they started off well, right? Like, it was a good start to the year.
Always is.
And it was this – but they played big games. It wasn't like they had this cupcake non-conference. Yeah. And, you know, well, even the game against Texas to start the season, right? Like,
real surprising.
Yeah. Like, so, hey, this team, it's been the inability to be consistent. And, quite frankly, losing games that they shouldn't lose.
Cannot finish.
That has, I think, been the biggest disappointment for me.
EJ Liddell. And here's the thing. You knew it the whole time. You knew it was EJ Liddell. I was struggling to get the guy's name, and he's sitting over there going, you knew it the whole time.
Because he hates EJ Liddell.
I do. I thought he was the most overrated player we ever recruited. Oh, my gosh.
I love EJ.
I'm so glad to be back here, guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's my most disappointing thing about this team right now is just that lack of, you know, we finally had a January where we all didn't just put our heads in the sand and say, what is happening? It's that still, there's still inconsistency. Yes. They're not winning games that they should be winning. Then now they win games that maybe they shouldn't.
You still believe in coach though?
Yeah,
I do.
I don't think that anybody who this far into his tenure with how he took it over, it says, oh, he can't, they're badly mistaken. You have to give him some more time. He hasn't even gotten through a recruiting cycle of guys he went out and recruited.
Right.
This recruiting cycle of guys who signed when he was still an assistant coach, that now he did a lot of that recruiting for them. Like, we know the relationship he had with Colin White and those guys, but you got to give him some time to develop.
You know, they say that the camera doesn't lie except for when it's on me and it makes me look bigger than I am.
You do look puffy.
Right. But Jake Diebler, when he goes in and they celebrate after the game, you can see there's genuine.
The guys
really like him. I've heard guys
talk about how he's a really player's coach, but don't make him mad. I like that. I like that. Yeah, he'll get after it. Two games this weekend, Washington and that team up north. I see them getting the win over Washington.
They better.
Yeah, right.
If they don't.
That's right. The game against Michigan is going to be tough. This is a good Michigan team. Yeah.
No, I think 2-0 this week.
Yeah.
Really? I think 2-0 this week.
I hope
you're
right.
Yeah, I think 2-0 this week. I think Washington's not going to be an issue. And I think we finally get a game where, you know, they start to finish. They play, they finish this game out, and I think they get the win.
I hope that they beat Michigan by 1 point, and Michigan has a shot at the end, and Roddy Gale takes it and misses.
I go 1-1, but yeah, so.
For which one are they winning?
The Washington
game. Yeah. That's a bad team.
They better
beat Washington.
I've been down to probably 5 or 6 Michigan games in Ohio State, and we don't play well against Michigan at Ohio State.
No,
for some reason.
I know. Yeah. I met Kirk Herbstreit there one
Did
time.
You?
Went down
That's
to Ohio
right.
State Michigan
yeah.
game, and
yeah.
Kirk Herbstreit was there. He was really cool.
Yeah.
Are you the reason that he's now a Michigan fan?
That's right.
Yeah. Are you the lunatic Grinchy man?
He's like, I don't like that.
Quick story. I was in line for nachos at a Michigan Ohio State game one time, and the guy in front of me, I'm like, oh, I know him. And I'm like, hey, Mitch Richmond.
Oh, no kidding.
Mitch Richmond. And he turns around and he goes, I'm Tim Hardaway. And I went, I kid you not. And I went, this is what I did. I went, I know that. I was just messing with you. I go, can I get a picture with you? And he's like, yeah. So I got a picture with my arm around Tim Hardaway.
Run TMC, baby.
This time I was playing for Michigan.
You know what the sad part about that is right now, Tim Hardaway is watching the show and going and just finding that out for the first time. He's like, that guy really didn't know I was Tim Hardaway.
And he probably watched last week.
He's so sad. Yeah, he's like, I
And
wow,
he, so yeah, he probably like, watched last week and wants to know where Mark Schein is.
And he's like, that wasn't Kirk Herbstreit?
Good point.
Yeah. So that Washington team is so bad, they're going to change their last name to the Generals. Oh, I'm done. I hope I'm so. Out.
I hope somebody throws some like some confetti on me. Confetti on me. Yeah. All right, guys. What a great show. Hey, don't forget to join us next week. We have got a huge, huge lineup. We are going to be breaking down all the postseason tournament brackets. We're going to have Columbus Grove All-State basketball player Lauren Ockmoody, Allen East All-State basketball player Rylan Jones. It's going to be a great show, guys.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't wait. Well, what an outro.
Hate you guys.
People are going to be like refreshing going, where's the end of it? Yeah, like, what happened? Like, why did they just
like the Sopranos that faded to black?